started, there's a lot of things that are going on here in this place. And this Family Values has been a series that I would like to say started writing in my head back in, I think it was about 2010. Right? That's a long time ago. Some of you weren't even born. We got some in here that really, literally weren't born here in 2010. But 2010, my father-in-law, Roger, he came into town to see this new fandangled place called Lafayette, right? They were living in Rochester, and they came to visit us soon after we moved here to plant this Innovation Church. And Roger and Brenda came, and they visited us, and he wanted to see the other Foursquare church in town, because when we originally moved here, we moved to West Lafayette. I don't know if you remember that day, but we drove over to this building, because this building was a Foursquare church long before we ever moved into town. And so he wanted to see the building, and we drove past it, and then the only way I knew to get back to West Lafayette was to find 52. And so I knew 450 would take me back to 52, because 52 was that way. And so we drove on 52, and we're starting to pass Woodland Elementary, and he says, "Billy, you think you'd ever move over here to Lafayette?" I said, "Nope, never." Literally, that's what I said, and I moved into the neighborhood right there in Benjamin Crest. And so he said, "Well, why is that?" I said, "It's full of factory workers that are overworked and underpaid." Any factory workers in this place, right? Overworked, underpaid, way too many hours in there, and their families are suffering because of it. And so the schools are suffering because of it, and that's just what I had heard about the area. And so I was working at Subaru at the time, and so that's what I knew, and I believe it was that day. I don't know if you've ever said the word never, and God listens, but he listened, and he knew that I saw a problem. And it was like, well, you're going to be the one that does something about that. And that's why the majority of our demographic has been young families that work at factories here. And I'm excited about that. And so I'm excited to begin to address that. Now, here we are, moving to 2010, here 2025, 15 years later, and God is still up to something amazing. And we're growing, and we're seeing what he wants to do. Now, if you want to know what happened in 2024, there's this little annual report. It talks about, you know, how many salvations we saw last year, how many outreaches. We've got 106 people in connect groups last year. 37% of our church is serving in one way, shape, or form. Talks about all the fun things that happened last year. But then this last piece, I don't know if you've ever been to a church where, like, there's the cup game that's going on. Like, where's the money at? Where's it going? Nobody knows, right? We love to spell that out for you. So all the money that comes in, all the money that goes out is right there spelled out for you. And if you have any questions about that, we have a really, really nerdy spreadsheet that we would share with you too. And it breaks down every penny, where it goes and why it goes. And so you'll know how much we spent on stamps. And so that is all right in there. You can pick that up on your way out. We handed them out 2 weeks ago when we celebrated. We do it at the end of every January. We celebrate an annual report of everything that happened. All the giving statements went out. So I want to thank those of you that give and contribute, because we couldn't do it without your help. We couldn't host fireworks. We couldn't bless the DCS parents and agencies. We couldn't partner with foster kids. We couldn't do the foster closet without you. We couldn't do any of the things without you guys saying, "Yes, I believe God is moving through this place, and I want to support that." And so I want to thank you guys. Can you give all the supporters a round of applause? Maybe you're clapping for yourself, but I want to thank you guys for all that. By the way, we got the contracts, and we're working towards permitting. We've got some of the engineer designs that we're sending off to the state, hopefully this week, to get a 5 times bigger foster closet, 2 more classrooms added, and so be praying over that process. It's a bunch of red tape that is ridiculous, but it is started. Pastor Brian, which isn't feeling good today, has been taking the reins on that and getting that done. And I'm so thankful for him and all those things taking place. But as you are here today, that's what's going on, and I've had a lot of questions, what's going on with my hand here today. I was doing some home renovations. I don't know if you noticed, I did some construction work. We've been tearing down walls like every night. Like my kids have been going to town with hammers and sledgehammers on walls. We did turn the electricity off after one shock, and it was all good. How many of you guys are DIYers, right? You start doing stuff, you're like, I've seen a couple YouTube videos, I can do that, right? You get this whether it's false confidence or not, but you're like, I can do that. And so I've been watching plumbing ones, right? Plumbing videos. And so half my house is all copper, half of it is this newfangled PEX pipe, right? I got red, I got blue, and it's like plastic pipe. And so I found a pipe cutter. And I was like, I need to move this pipe over here, do this over here. I was like, I can do that. That looks easy on YouTube, right? It did. It really did. And so I did. Started cutting pipes, started doing things, shutting off water, got some valves, installed some T's, and I had to go and cut and cap off the last things. And I found this tool. It's called a pipe cutter. Imagine that, right? You squeeze, 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 and it cuts it. Now, and if you can imagine, that tool, in order to cut pipe, needs to be really sharp. And so that's where the downfall started to happen. You go into the crawl space, snip, 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 snip. Okay, those ones are good. All right, and you crawl to the other space because, you know, I'm frugal in my work. And so if I cut out a 2x4, I'm going to reuse that 2x4. If I cut out some pipe, I'm going to reuse that pipe. And so I cut out the pipe and put the tool down. And I had the army crawl because, you know, like crawl spaces are like this big. And you got to crawl around the ductwork and everything like that. And so I'm crawling. And all of a sudden, I just brush up against that pipe cutter. And then there's a big hole in my hand. I was like, well, that shouldn't be there. Let me go finish this pipe. You crawl down one hand and then suck the blood with the other and cut the other pipes and capped them off and then crawled out and went to the emergency room, right? But the best part is my kids wanted to go out to eat for dinner and they wanted to play the arcade. And I was like, okay, that cost a little bit more because Pizza King, they got the arcade and the trains and everything. But guess what? It was a blessing because they got to play the arcade at the urgent care. And I don't know. It's there. And there's slushies at the urgent care. Like, this is a field trip. And so they had fun. All the nurses got to come in and see. They were like all looking, oohing and ahhing. They have a special room. Did you guys go that? Like, you don't have to wait that long in the lobby when you have blood gushing out your hand. Like, there's a special room. They usher you right to it. You don't even have to see a nurse first. The doctor comes in. It was the first one. It was awesome. And so we got some extra special box stitching going on. It was really cool. Anyways, well, I say all that, and we talk about all this construction work because there's actually construction work that's going on in the Bible, and there's construction work that I believe that God wants to do in us and in our hearts today. And so we've got a very simple verse. It's the words of Jesus. But if you're following along in the Innovation Church app, or if you even know that exists, there's sermon notes right in there. That little QR code in front of you, you just scan that and send the word app, and it'll send you the link to get that, whether you're on Android or Apple. It'll go right to you. But in Matthew 7, verse 24, that's where we're starting off today. And it says, therefore, everyone, everybody say, everyone. All right, they're right there, really tiny. If you can't read them from way back there, get the app. But it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and, oh, sometimes, like, I don't know if you know 1 + 1 = 2, even in Indiana, like, and that is 1 + 1 = 2. And so those and verbs, how many of you guys remember conjunction, junction, what's your function, right? Right, that's how I learned what and meant, right? And so it's like one and one equals something. I love it when the Bible makes it nice and simple for me because I need it simple. And so it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, you guys sound so good this morning. Everybody say and. Okay, just making sure. It's not like if. It's not like maybe. It's not like or. It's not any of those other conjunctions, right? It is and. You got to hear it and put it into practice. Oh. Pastor Billy, we just spent 4 weeks on mental health. We heard about it. We heard about what to do with our anxiety. We heard about how to reframe our situations, right? You guys just heard that. Even with me, slice my hand open. Okay, well, at least they have a free arcade, right? Reframed it. My kids get to go, I don't have to waste all my money paying on an arcade, right? I got free slushies, right? I get to meet all these nurses because they all wanted to come in and all come see it high and everything and see how the skin folded under and see how the box stitching and everything. Like, it was just gaping there, like talking to them. It was great. And I got to meet all kinds of new people. I had a blast. And not only that, I had people, to be honest, I felt completely defeated. Here my wife is, gone for 3 weeks, and I'm supposed to take care of these kids now with one hand. I'm supposed to do this remodeling with one hand. I can't even tie my shoes anymore, right? We ripped out the entire laundry room, took up all the tile, took out my wife's closet. You know, she wants one of those when she comes back. I played a game with my kids. Let's hide all of mommy's clothes. That's what, so they helped me carry them up to the guest room. And so they helped me. And here I am sitting in this room, and I'm like feeling all depressed. I'm like, how am I ever going to do this? How am I ever going to finish this thing? I can't carry a piece of drywall with one hand. I mean, the dang doctor even prescribed me a bottle, and I couldn't open it. Childproof. I'm no child. I couldn't grip it. You know, come on. I had to hold my 11-year-old. Here's how you open these childproof bottles, medication that you're not supposed to get. But within a couple texts, I knew I had my father-in-law that had my back, and even a friend that I just met about 15 years ago when I said we were planting a church. He's seen us from afar off. He's actually been a neighbor of ours, has come over to Red, White, and Boom, goes to another church. And so it's like I've never really served him and his family well enough to be like, oh, yeah, I love him. I want to go crawl around in his attic and in his crawl space and help him figure out the electrical. Mr. Norm came and made friends with my father-in-law, and they were doing all over the place, and I'm just like, and just stepped in. So many times the body of Christ, and I sent over a thank you message, and he's just like, thank you for letting us be the body of Christ, to where we can be better together, where we can serve one another. Saw that happening even with Frank and Faith, when Frank needed to get down to the doctor and Faith already had some major commitments that she's taking and moving, and John Mitchell's just stepping in and how can I serve? How can I help? We've seen that over and over again happen right here within this church. I'm so glad that we can live out these values, that it's not just something that's seen, right? That's what the scripture's saying. You're not just hearing them. You're not just walking past these signs every day, but you're actually putting them into practice. We truly are better together. We truly are going to take some risks. We truly are going to follow after Jesus. We truly are going to reach the 67%. But this verse goes on. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Just like the song says, rain came, wind blew, right? I don't know why they didn't put streams rose. I don't know. I guess it just doesn't roll off the tongue. But it says, wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not, there's that conjunction there. That's like saying, everyone who came for the past 4 weeks and didn't learn how to reframe their anxiety, didn't jump in on the devotionals during the weeks and learn how to put into practice, you're just like, oh, well, they're just talking about mental health and I'm not going to help my wife with it. I'm just going to hear the words. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm just going to hear the words and dig into my own phone, do my own thing. It says, you know, you hear the words of mine and you don't put them into practice. It's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the stream rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. See, as we start off this family value series, a healthy, Christ-centered home begins with a healthy, Christ-centered human. A healthy Christ-centered mom, a healthy Christ-centered dad, a healthy Christ-centered grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle. Whether you're the parent, the child, whatever it may be, we must be centered way before we're trying to influence the others to do likewise. To be built on the rock. We're actually going to, the YouVersion devotional that's going to go out, you know, if you scan that QR code and text the word Devo, it'll help you sign up for the YouVersion devotional for this week. And it'll be about the Sermon on the Mount. What did Jesus say about how we handle our anger? Because your kids are watching how you handle it. Why? Because that's how I learned how to cuss. Right? Like my dad, with that wrench would slip and bust his knuckles. Have you been there? You done your own car work? That's what happened to me. In the parking lot of Christ for the Nations Bible College, it's sleeting and snowing, I'm changing my alternator, and slip, and bleepity, 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 bleepity. I was ready to be kicked out of Bible College that moment. Didn't even know those words were in there. See, what are we doing with our anger? What are we doing with our lust, our retaliation? Our generosity, our judging of others, our anxiety. God's word prepares us how to handle these, and we can learn about it, and we can say, oh, that's good, Pastor. Oh, that's good. Or, oh, I don't know about that. But are we going to do it? Are we going to put them into practice? The wise member of the family centers on Christ and lives out his teachings. Because whether we like it or not, rain comes, right? Ice comes. Snow comes, right? Floods come, right? It's that, but it's also a cheating spouse comes. What are you going to do with that? See, what happens where, for better or worse, when worse actually happens? Are we still devoted then? When the diagnosis actually is there, right? When the cancer is there. That's what the rain and the flood actually feels like, and many of you have gone through just that. When the substance addiction is there, when the house fire is there, when the layoff is there, when the accident is there, when a family member loses their life. See, the bulk of the influence that we have on our family is not just what is taught. The bulk of the influence is actually caught. Because they're watching. They're listening. They're learning. Every fight, every argument, every time you walk out that door, every time you yell the word divorce, every time you slam that door. We can and we should teach biblical concepts. Yeah, we should go over the stories. Yeah, that's why we start teaching them in the nursery. That's why they're learning in the toddler room and the Innovation Kids. That's why our teenagers this morning at Breakfast Club are going through mental health. Because their parents just learned they were flying on a plane, things get turbulent, right? The little thing drops down and it says, make sure and put your mask on first and then help your favorite child, right? Right? You put your mask on and then. So last month we spent putting our mask on. Did we do anything with that? Did we actually put that on? Or did we just hear the words? Or did we use those words to dig into more scripture? Or are we still having the panic attacks? With the same? Did you actually sign up to, like the mental health counselor was right here in this place? Or did you just say, oh yeah, she was good. That's great. I still got my own struggles. I'm not going to move past this. Did you sign up for the groups to actually do life together, to walk through the mind traps, to get freedom from addiction, from anxiety, from depression? Did you sign up to just be in a room with some men and talk about man stuff? I heard they farted a few times too. I don't know. You know, I get messages all the time from people within the church and even those from outside the church. I got this one just a few months ago as I was I'm always working on series. Pastors are like, you know, how do you like write out your calendar? How do you do stuff? I said, I'm always just trying to listen to God and just putting it into files. Like I'm a nerd and spreadsheets and everything like that. I do that all the time. I'm working on one for 2026, so thou shalt not post. It's fun, right? And so that one's going to be fun. And so while I was working on this one in particular, I got a message, and it was a mom who had grown up in the church, but her two boys, which were grown adults now, are choosing not to follow God. And she asked me, you know, Pastor Billy, how can I help them believe? How can I teach them to believe? What stories can I tell them? How? My answer was simply this: live it out in front of them. Do they see it in your Facebook post? Do they see it in your reactions? Do they see Jesus in and through you so much that they want what you have? Because I don't know about you, but I've heard a lot of do as I say, not as I do, right? I'm going to tell you to do this, but I'm going to live a different way. I'm going to tell you to handle your anger this way, but I'm going to fight with your mom. Do as I say, not as I do. You know, that works for a while, especially like the prepubescent years, but teens and tweens can see right through that fake religion and want to have nothing to do with it. That's why they want to follow what their friends are doing. Because what they see in you, most of what children learn from us is what they see modeled. So it was interesting. With the first service, I had them do this exercise, and I want to see how it goes in here, okay? How many of you guys have ever taken a picture? You've taken a picture? Everybody's taken a picture, right? So at some point in time in your life, you've taken a picture, okay? So right now, we're gonna do a little experiment, okay? Everybody participate. Steve didn't participate in the first service, I'm just saying. But you just like, nope. There's always somebody like, nope, I'm not doing it. No. You can't make me pastor. Okay, whatever. All right, so, but I need you to act like you're taking a picture, okay? We're going to go on the count of three, one, two, three, and then act like you're taking a picture. Show me just with your actions, right, how you take a picture and then freeze, okay? All right, and so I'm not going to give you like any cues of how I take a picture, but go ahead and I can pose for you if you want, right? Okay, all right, and so all right, on the count of three, everybody act like you're taking a picture. One, two, three. Okay, all right, okay, we got this. Interesting. All right, so we got some of this. Okay, we got a lot of this, showing how old you are, right? And we've got others like this, right? All right, see, it's interesting how different people take pictures, right? Oh, I think Lou's taking a selfie over there. Hey, ladies, how you doing? Right, okay, you can take it now. Right, like we do that. We all take it a different way. Isn't that interesting? Our children do the same thing. My Luna does the same thing, right? Like for most of us, it was like this, right? And then sometimes we remember that one, right? And then you have to take the film and everything like that. You tell Luna to take a picture, and she goes like selfie mom. Right? Wonder who she gets that from. Probably me. Right? Or like literally, if you look at my son, little Billy, right? He's like tall, almost taller than me now. You look at him and his Facebook post or Instagram post or something, and he has his mouth open. I don't know why he does. I don't know how that happened. But you see, our beliefs don't translate to transformation in our thoughts. It's only in our behavior. Well, these family values that we're going to learn about and put into place. If our beliefs don't translate to our transformation and our thoughts and our behavior, then it's going to be difficult to pass along those values. why we see these words, that everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Because everybody would say, oh, it's great to help the poor. But do our kids actually do that? Do we lead them to that? Do we sign up for LUM and pack lunches? Do we go down there and actually make meals? Do we take our clothes and list them and sell them? Or do we donate them, whether to be the foster closet or to Trinity? Or is it all about us and what we can make? Do we live a life that we're so busy trying to make and gain so we can give them the things that we never had? Because, oh, they're missing out. Try to sign them up for every activity that we never got to do, whether they like it or not. Have their schedules so busy and so jam-packed that not only are you not resting, but you're modeling for them what rest isn't. I mean, it's only there in the top 10, so why should we obey it? One of the interesting things that I got to learn from my parents was tithing. And you know, we never had like all the money in the world. But yet every Sunday, they didn't have a box in the back. Literally, they had buckets around on the front of the stage. And families would come down, whether with cash or check, and before they would drop in the offering bucket, they would pray. And so there'd be times that would happen. But then there'd also be times where they just handed it to me. And you know what I did, right? I walked up and I looked at it. I'm like, oh, that's why I don't have Nikes, right? That's what I thought. That's why I don't have the Reeboks that match my Lakers jersey, right? Those are the thoughts that went through my mind. But each and every week, whether I was dropping it in the box or they were dropping in the box, they realized that they couldn't afford not to give, that they couldn't afford being under a curse if they didn't. See, Barna, and I am sorry that I picked the wrong time for a text message to go out. Just in case you got that one, it's been a week. Having a whole week without your wife, this has been a long week. And so I scheduled that thing, and you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes the 12 a.m. and the 12 p.m., it mixes me up, and that was a moment for me, and I clicked the wrong time and woke some of you guys up. Some of you were up already. I don't know. That's why you're at second service. Anyways, but Barna is, they do research constantly, and we have an opportunity to be involved in that research in the state of the church, and that's why I sent that text message out. Do it at 12 p.m., though. I promise I will next time. But there was a survey that they wrapped up in 2023, and it was about the primary reason. Why are the primary reasons that people stopped attending church or don't go to church at all? And the primary reason that people doubt Christianity, number one, was because of hypocrisy. You've heard it, right? Why would I want to go there? It's people that are hearing it and not doing it. People that are preaching it and not doing it. We've seen that happen to a lot of pastors. Not living it out. Met with a pastor this week. Billy, I've preached sermons about this over and over. And I got caught up in the trap myself. Primary reasons. When we moved here, started meeting people, tell them we were planting another church. They were, why do we need another church? All a bunch of hypocrites anyways. So what we heard from the 67%, it's not that they hated Jesus, hated God, it's just they hated church. Not just because it was boring and traditional, but because the people that they were around, same addictions, same problems. And I always try to be like, well, the church is a place, is supposed to be a hospital for the sick. Not a trophy case for those that are perfect. But when we hear it, we should be doing it. Things should change week after week after week. If nothing changes, then maybe you need to go somewhere else or just tell the pastor. Or maybe you need to put it into practice. Say, am I putting this into practice? Can we check ourselves and say, am I putting into practice what Pastor Billy is saying about my mental health, or am I still having insecurities and doubting what God is calling me to do? Or am I doing what God is calling me to do? And Pastor Billy always does these finance series, and then I just go out and get another credit card. Really? You're going to finance something else when we talk about the borrower as slave to the lender? And you're always on this hamster wheel, always trying to catch up? Are we going to hear it and put it into practice? That's what it looks like, building on a firm foundation. I can't stand here and call anyone to perfection. But Jesus taught us to love our neighbor. He taught us to surrender our racism. He taught us not to turn a blind eye to those that are in need. If we refuse to see Jesus for who he really is, then it's our job to follow him and live how he lived. Not to be served, not to be taken care of, not to come in and get our ears tickled and to be able to laugh. But what are we going to do with what we heard? What is going to change this week with how we handle our anger? What is going to change this week? Are you actually going to read the devotional? Because I'm not here to tell you step by step what to do. I'm here to lead the horse to water and let him drink. I'm here to lead you to God and let you read his word and let you hear his voice. So this week, that devotional is going to be about the Sermon on the Mount. What did Jesus say while he was on the rock? All of us know that there's going to be storms in life. It's going to happen time after time. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be 2-inch gashes in your hand. But where your house is built on is going to determine what happens next. Spiritual disciplines like prayer, like Bible reading, being involved in a supportive faith community that helps us mend any damage that we may encounter. See, I've found that a faith that is lived is a faith that lasts. We believe it's important to explore and to study together, to be connected with one another. But if we do it all just to be puffed up people full of knowledge and never put it into practice, what if we actually committed ourselves, not just to learning, but to connecting, to growing, to actually changing? That's what this series is going to be about. Hearing and doing. Why? Because the next generation needs it. They need to see it in us. How many of them are going to walk away because of us? I hope more are drawn towards God because of us. I hope that there's 67% that can see it. There's something different about you, in a good way, not in a bad way, right? Like, there's something different. You got that diagnosis, because it rains on the just and the unjust. But you handled it. You got laid off, but you handled it in a different way. You went through bankruptcy, but you came out different. What is it about you that I don't have? I hope it's because we're built on a firm foundation, not because we're just chasing after the things of this world. That we're loving our enemy, that we're loving our spouse, that we're submitting one to another. We're loving our wives as Christ loves the church. That we're putting these things into practice, not hearing them and going out and doing something totally different. Because I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God didn't leave me the same way that he found me. Right? That just as I am, which played way too many times in the Baptist church, right? Well, just as I am without one plea, and I was able to walk that walk, and he didn't leave me as I was. He loved me enough to take me as I am and change and shape me from glory to glory to glory. I still got some work left to do and some healing left, but He'll never fail us. But what will we do with that? We got a word that was given in the first service that said, wake up, sleeper. Wake up, arise, it's time to shine. There's a new day dawning. Can you see it? Are you ready? It's time to prepare. What will we do with that? Will we hear? Will we respond? What will we do with building our house on the firm foundation? Will that change how we're handling finances? Will that change how we're working together with our spouse? Will it change what we wake up and what we do first thing in the morning? Is it, oh, I need this Instagram hit. I need this Facebook hit. Or am I going to God's word so I hear Him first and foremost? Will things begin to change because of what we hear from the Word of God? Maybe you're here today and you've been living your life on a foundation that hasn't been built on Christ Jesus. Maybe you're watching online today and you want to make Him the center of your life. We pray a prayer at the end of every service for those that have realized I've built my life on some shifting sand. That almost came out wrong. Maybe that's the sand you built it on too. And maybe that needs to change. So today I want to lead you in a prayer. It's a salvation prayer, a dedication to Jesus. I'm declaring, I'm making you my salvation. I'm making you my Lord and Savior. If you're here and you've already prayed that prayer, I ask you to repeat after me as well with those that may be praying it for the first time so that they know that they're not in this alone, that we're in this together. So would you repeat after me? Jesus, I recognize that I've been living life without a firm foundation. And I need you. I believe you're the Son of God. And that you died for my sins. And rose again. So I could have new life. And I ask you to forgive me today. For doing life without you. Today, will you be my Lord and Savior? Help me to live for you. And make you the foundation of my life. Thank you for loving me and giving me a new start. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, would you put your hands together for those that just prayed that prayer?